The first reading for the Ascension of our Lord is from Acts, chapter 1. In the first book, O Theophilus, I have dealt with all that Jesus began to do and teach, until the day when he was taken up, after he had given command through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. To them he presented himself alive after his suffering by many proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. And while staying with them, he ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which, he said, you heard from me. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. So when they had come together, they asked him, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? He said to them, it is not for you to know the times or seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. And when he had said these things, as they were looking on, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. And while they were gazing into heaven as he went, behold, two men stood by them in white robes and said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking up into heaven? This Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven. This is the word of the Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
As I planned for this evening's service, I was struck by the contrast between the disciples' expectations and how things went for them. Luke reports in his gospel that prior to Jesus' ascension, the Lord had guided his disciples in a comprehensive Bible study through the then existing scriptures, what we know as the Old Testament. Luke doesn't provide a timeline for this Bible study, neither how long it took, nor precisely when it took place. Luke covers the entire 39 and a half days between Easter evening, when Jesus appeared to his disciples and invited them to examine his hands and his feet and the wounds that were in them, and his ascension, in a mere 18 verses. In the first 8 verses, Luke reports on Jesus' Easter evening appearance to the disciples in the locked room, and with 4 more verses, reports on Jesus' ascension. The 6 verses between these 2 events read, Then Jesus said to them, These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled. Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures and said to them, Thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. And behold, I am sending the promise of my Father upon you. But stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high. The disciples could hardly have missed the fact that this was an auspicious time. The fact that Jesus' death and resurrection on the third day fulfilled the scriptures made that clear. With the impending sending of the promise of Jesus' Father, their being clothed with power from on high, and repentance and forgiveness in Jesus' name being proclaimed to all nations, the culmination of all things seemed to be close at hand. It's no wonder then that as they arrived at Bethany, they asked him, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? They had rejoiced when he had ridden into Jerusalem on that donkey, not 6 weeks earlier. Hosanna, they cried. Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. They hadn't expected what would follow that week. The sequence of events was something they could never in their most terrible nightmare imagine. But now had to be the final fulfillment. The culmination of everything for which they had ever hoped. Surely, they thought, the Messianic kingdom was now just at hand. But Jesus responded to their hopeful question, "It is not for you to know the times or seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority." That was not what they wanted to hear. But perhaps there was still hope. After all, the message, "Mind your own business," isn't known. That's not happening today, nor tomorrow, nor for many centuries to come. Jesus continued, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth." And that pretty much put paid to their immediate hopes. The end of the earth was a long way off if they were going to be his witnesses there. The 3 years they had spent with him were barely even a beginning of that task. But that's not all. As they were standing there before him, considering what he had just said to them, Jesus was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. I imagine them standing there with their mouths hanging open, staring up at that cloud, until the two angels addressed them. "Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking up into heaven? This Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven." From Luke's first volume, we also hear, "And the disciples returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple blessing God." Surely the disciples had mixed feelings as they saw Jesus ascending and being hidden by the cloud. They would have been glad for that to have been the end. And that very moment, to have been caught up in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air and always be with him forever. All things considered, I imagine they would have agreed with the sentiment St. Paul later recorded, "My desire is to depart and be with Christ, for that is better by far." As I considered the readings, liturgy, and hymns for this feast of our Lord, I thought, you know, there's something to that. Think back to the rousing opening hymn this evening, praising Jesus as victor, enthroned in power and heavenly glory. We sang "Crown Him" or "Crown the Savior" 27 times in that hymn. Jesus on the seat of power. Oh, what joy that sight affords. In the sermon hymn, we sang 6 Alleluias. As with yearning we prayed to breathe the Spirit of God's grace, to see the Father's face, and to feel the Son's embrace. And there will be 42 Alleluias, I counted them, 42 in the closing hymn. All of this joy and praise focused on he who on the cross did suffer, he who from the grave arose, he who vanquished sin and Satan, who by death has crushed his foes. This crusher of the head of the dragon, that ancient serpent who is the devil and Satan, is now seated beside his Father on the throne of heaven, and all always lives to make intercession for you and for me. What joy in that! What glory! And yet, as we sang on the Feast of the Transfiguration of our Lord, Alleluia cannot always be our song while here below. For the present, we remain mourning exiles who have not yet been welcomed into God's new Jerusalem, the heavenly home Jesus has prepared for those who trust in him. As the sermon hymn has it, for the present we are living lives of wanton wandering, lives of fear and failure. Infirmity and sickness persist for us. Death takes from us those we love. It's as Moses summarized, the span of our years is but toil and trouble, and they are soon gone. With the psalmist, we have had to learn not to put our trust in princes, in a son of man in whom there is no salvation. For when his breath departs, he returns to the earth. On that very day, his plans perish. As we read or hear the daily news, it's all too clear that, like Isaiah, we dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips and are ourselves unclean because of what we have done and what we have left undone. So on this feast day, we might well join the disciples in having mixed feelings. Our experience doesn't live up to the promises of Jesus' resurrection and ascension. Yet. But it will. And the Feast of the Ascension of our Lord reminds us of this fact. By Christ's ascent to the throne of God, he has raised our human nature on the clouds at God's right hand. There we sit in heavenly places, there with him in glory stand. Jesus reigns, adored by angels. Man with God is on the throne. By our mighty Lord's ascension, we by faith behold our own. The day is coming, when we don't know. But the day is surely drawing near, when the Lord will call you and me to himself. And then the Lamb in the midst of the throne will be our shepherd and will guide us to springs of living water. And God will wipe away every tear from our eyes. And death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore. For the former things will have passed away forever. And so we will always be with the Lord. So on this day rejoice. God has gone up with a shout, the Lord with the sound of a trumpet. And where he has gone, you will be also, with all believers, by the mercy and grace of God, in Jesus Christ, your victorious Savior. Amen. The peace of God which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord, to life everlasting. Amen.